Good afternoon and welcome to, you already know, Money Matters. It is that time of the day, that time of the week, I should say. We are joined here with Mr. Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain. Just getting ready to kick off this segment of Money Matters, but first, how you doing?
Another beautiful day in Bahrain.
It is. Weather has been, it's getting kind of chillier. Do you feel that?
It's beautiful. It's so nice.
It is.
Had a little breeze coming by, a nice little chill. Almost makes you want to put a windbreaker on.
It does. The only reason I do, and I wear like coats or like long sleeves, just because I get off at like 6 when it's like the windiest.
True, it's a little chilliest.
It is windy, and I'm on my bike.
It's not a long ride home for you, but it can get really, really long.
I go to the galley or I go straight home, and either way, I'm just like just clamping down on my teeth just because of how like
maybe
it's
you
like
can
wind chills.
Feel your fingers after that.
Exactly. So we have that question of the day today, mm-hmm. as you know. What is something you will always hold on to for Teddy Bear Day?
We're talking about physical something to hold on to, right?
I'd say anything, really. I mean, something that I guess you can bring from your childhood or just something that you can cherish.
Yeah. That is a tough one.
There's a lot of things.
I mean, I would say, I know it's going to sound weird. I'd say maybe pocket knife.
Okay.
I still have my first pocket knife I ever got.
Really?
And then I got one for my kid.
First one I ever got, I
busted
my finger like 2 days later.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to learn.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, learning lessons right there. No doubt. Yeah. Like, I mean, I do like pocket knives. I made one. I made a Swiss Army knife at the Swiss Army Knife Factory.
Where is that?
I never keep it in my pocket. I don't want to get, for the same reason. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want it to break or something. It's so ironic. I'm like, oh yeah, man, I made this Swiss Army. And then I don't want to ever use it.
I assume that's in Switzerland, right?
Yeah.
That's a good guess.
Yeah.
Now,
good guess on the Swiss Army knife. You are correct.
I don't know for me. I mean, personally,
I don't have any squishies or anything like that.
No squishies.
No,
I do have my collection. I'm starting now, but there's
starting
more,
now.
There's more
I think it's been established, has it not?
It's been like 2 years. 2 years.
I think
now.
That started. Yeah,
yeah,
started,
yeah it's
yeah.
starting.
Definitely
and so,
established for sure.
I guess, but when I was younger, I had this Scuba Steve my mom got for me when I was very young.
Scuba Steve.
From the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Wow.
And I still have that. It's probably in my closet somewhere, but not with me here, but I do still have that and cherish it I see him, I'm like, oh, Scuba Steve, nice. And I just get my clothes and leave.
That's it. Man, you should take him with you. What you should do is take Scuba Steve with you everywhere you travel.
That's kind of my idea, man. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I remember they had that, kids do that all around the world.
Yeah.
And, they have different classrooms or something like that, and they send them to different people, take pictures. We did that a little bit for a little while.
Nice. So what are we talking about today on this segment of Money Matters? I heard a little chit-chat of digital currency.
Yeah, I figured that that has been something that's very hot. Last week we brought a CFS on and a special guest, and we finished off that class, and we had one group kind of in particular that they kind of from the beginning of the week, it ramped up towards the end, and they were very bold about some of their, involvement or acknowledged just the understanding of things. And I will say that, I mean, it's a class that we've got. We put that on the calendar at Fleet and Family. It's one of the things that we want the CFSs to be able to, share, train, equip their guys in command for sure. There's no doubt about that. But it's definitely something that without a doubt has picked up a lot more traction over the past couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit of just how you can participate, I guess you could say, ETFs and how that opened the door for it and all that kind of stuff. I think we'll cover a few different things. And obviously, we don't have a call in for people to ask questions. So we're going to try our best to give as many answers and some information on that. And more importantly, just get some people at least thinking, aware about some stuff that they definitely, if they're going to start to get interested, dabble into it, whatever, that, we're going to give them some good information. No doubt about that.
AFM The Eagle, the best music of yesterday, today, the day after tomorrow,
the second Thursday of each month, a week ago last Wednesday.
Any month that ends with Y. Serving America's best.
We are back with Mr. Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain, getting ready to talk a little bit about digital currency. Now, like he was saying before, I mean, the past couple of years has really hit its mark. I mean, everywhere. You see it everywhere. Everyone wants it. Remember that one? You remember that? You know that one girl who was like the, I forget her actual name, but it was like the, she made some coin. Right.
Oh, right. Right.
And
right,
she blew up off of it. It was like a multi-million dollar thing that she made. And then she just forever, she's like been AFK off of, like, because she was a social media person.
Yeah.
Now she's just gone off.
Yeah. It's there. Really, unfortunately, in a sense, and we'll talk about that kind of at the end on the scam side a little bit of things. But yeah, technically, it's not that hard to develop cryptocurrency. We're definitely not going to get into those details on this show for sure. But the fact of how easy, in a sense, it can be done.
It's scary.
I know that in the past, we've talked about that. I was at a finance conference, actually, about a year and a half ago-ish. And the team that I was with, part of our project was to develop our own digital currency. And I sat there and I was going, are we like for real on this one? And so we had every team had a marketing director, development, like the different aspects of it. We all kind of got assigned. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy to think that basically within an hour we had us four had put this brainchild together of what was our own coin and stuff.
That's
and so the entire, we were in a room, you know, it was a good size amount of people. And so just some of the people shared, you know, we all came up with names, designs, however we were going to promote it and everything like that. Right. And if you've got basically elementary school kids who are identifying with something that they don't understand, which is what digital currency has done, right? So they're just like, oh yeah, you know, Doge has got this dog on it, and they know what a Shiba Inu is, and they're like, wait, there's a Shiba too? And then they start going left and right. They don't understand the depth, right? But they understand that just the fire that it is of where everybody is trying to get some kind of grip or awareness on what's actually happening. Yeah. And so, you know, you had brought this up, and I think we technically there is, you know, we have classes, there's official curriculum and everything else. So it's easy to discuss something like this because this is not only what's hot now, but it's something that we equip and have information about. So it's not like we're trying to hide anything, if that makes sense. And we want to be as transparent as possible, especially with where we are located here and what kind of the difference, I guess you could say, in cryptocurrency is worldwide technically, but for our active duty guys especially, kind of what they need to be aware of being overseas doing different things, because there's going to be a lot of opportunity to do stuff for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just so weird to me sometimes, just because I don't even know what, like, what makes them worth money, you know?
Yeah.
Like Bitcoin. Bitcoin's worth how much? You know, do you remember how much?
Oh, well, 100%. You know what it comes down to is, like, what, in a sense, what it, we'd have to check this minute, right?
Yeah.
The volatility of it means that we can start this show at, you know, in the beginning of an hour.
Yeah.
And by the time we finish of an hour, we have no idea how much has fluctuated. It can move that fast, that furious kind of
move?
A thing. The demand, purely, like whether you want it or you don't. And that's the kind of curiosity of it. And we'll talk a little bit about that. That's really what fuels any asset. So it doesn't matter what it is, right? So something that can be super vintage that nobody wants, to the fact of just the rarity of what the availability is, and maybe a little bit of FOMO is the fact that you got it, I don't, and I want it.
Definitely.
Kind of thing. And so sometimes it's pride that drives it and all that kind of stuff. But looking at where we are in the kind of big picture, the journey of a digital currency, it's a little bit more kind of like the gold rush. A lot of people are just waiting and they see the gold rush and they want to be able to, and I mean, technically, it's a great parallel because you technically mine digital currency, right? So this discovery of what it's been is, it's a really cool journey in a sense that we get to watch it.
Yeah.
And how we participate in it, we'll talk a little bit about that today for sure.
Do not attempt to adjust your radio. We are in complete control. AFN The Eagle. Serving America's best.
We are back with Mr. Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain. Now, we're getting ready to talk about some more digital currency stuff, especially the background, right?
Yeah. Digital currencies have been out for a little while. It's definitely something that you can... not so much like the thought process of it, but more the availability, if that makes sense. So early on, it was kind of more just the fact of if people were aware and how they could kind of participate, contribute. So you hear a lot of, I'm going to say they're cool stories only because maybe they didn't happen to me, if that makes sense. So you hear stories about like people that bought pizza with Bitcoin or something like that. So it's just like, yeah, I paid this guy 5 Bitcoin and for my pizza. So the pizza guy had to take like a chance on that. That was his flyer of like Bitcoin. Who knows what's going to happen? And if he held on to even one of them, then my man is like, he's paid for that pizza more times than not. But even I saw like this kind of, I don't know, it's almost like an esports league where you win like $500 for first place, $250 for second, $100 for third, and then 4th through 10 win 5 Bitcoin. Oh, and you're just kind of like, oh man, yeah, I don't want to win first, second, or third on that one. I want the Bitcoin kind of a thing. But that was so long ago, you know, when Bitcoin was $1 or something, that it was all purely speculative of just of knowing who or what anybody was even going to think of it down the road. So yeah, it's a digital currency, you know, as a whole has been around for a little while. And of course now we can just grab our phones and find information about it with no problem, even depending on how people might be involved, but it's technically considered a digital asset. And, knowing it's like we talked about earlier, it's like anything else that you can own, you just have to kind of have an agreed upon value for it. And that's what is considered the value of that asset. So this, what they would call an asset class, is digital currency. And that means like, oh, it's all digital, right? Well, technically, yeah, that it means there isn't tangibility to it, something you can grab onto, something that you've got a way to kind of physically hold, if that makes sense. Yeah. So if I had a gold coin instead of a digital Bitcoin, we would have an agreed upon value for that. And you'd say, yep, this is how much I'll pay you. And then I give you that coin, you give me whatever I want of equal value. So I can basically take that and we could trade for like a car or actual currency, like fiat currency that we would agree with. So a friend of mine just sold a car to another friend. Here it was. He literally just gave him, here is $10,000, boom. And they knew what they were dealing with. When it comes to digital currency like that, it's a little bit different platform. And so we don't have that same kind of feel, even physically, in our hands.
Yeah.
So we may not have that same understanding of how much it could hurt financially, if that makes sense. So because we don't have it, if you have $10,000 on your credit card and you charge it, that's always going to be different than $10,000 in cash in front of you. Your brain's like processing different, right? So you're kind of laughing, but you know that if you saw those two and you looked at a credit card, you're like, eh, and then you saw a stack of cash, you're going to take the cash by nature.
Of course.
That's the guarantee. And so that is one of the biggest issues when it comes to digital currency, is that people don't have that same security of what they believe is the guarantee of that investment. So when you were talking about like, hey, how does that price get driven? It gets driven up because people agree that that's basically what they want. So you can find all kinds of digital currency. If you go into different investment, you know, brokerage houses for it, I mean, easily 200 that will be on there. And some of that value, kind of the flip side of Bitcoin of hitting 100,000 US dollars, is that you can find stuff that is the opposite of it. So when you're looking at 100,000 and you find those zeros that are behind it, you have that many zeros like after a decimal point.
Yeah.
So not after a comma. And so that means you're not even dealing with a penny. You're dealing with that many fractions of a penny. So you can find, you know, digital currency that is that cheap. So basically you put $20 into it and you're going to buy 10,000 for $20. But you can't do that with Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. So you put your $20 in, you're just like, how much do I get? And I was like, not really a Bitcoin at all. Like not even a Santoshi, like not even a smidgen of it, shall we say, that little wedge. So because that pot is so grown to be so big, some people feel they don't understand and they're like totally overwhelmed. It's like crazy. like how stocks can be. And so when they look at some other options that are out there, then they say, oh, okay, so I can kind of get in on the ground level with something. And that's basically what you're doing. It's highly speculative. If we've talked about the financial pyramid a little bit, and we'll talk about that after on the next break after the song, just a little bit about how much weight we should be putting into digital currency.
Maximum music.
I love it when you guys play Fuel, Red Hot Chili Peppers,
Black Eyed Peas.
Minimum repeats.
80s music. I love listening to The Cars, Modern Ingress.
AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
We are back talking digital currency and all that good stuff. Now, in your opinion, what are like the biggest differences between like, stocks and digital currencies?
Yeah, it's more, so I would say that there's two big ones. One is just the history of what's been there. So stocks have been around for a long time. And I don't mean like long as like old as you or me, well beyond you. So when you're moving to something that's been 100 years old plus, that's got a good established reputation.
Yeah.
So that's why some guys like a good balance of gold, right? Because everybody likes gold.
Yeah.
And then they see like historically that's a good place. Then you know the dollar used to be backed on that, right? So they have a confidence in it. With that, you see that there is this difference in just history that you can have mile markers of how you read it. The other thing about it is it goes back into being tangible or what is agreed upon. It's, I know it sounds weird, but it's only brand new, you know, basically within the past year, kind of 2 years, that it has been acceptable, you know, socially, that it doesn't seem like everything is a scam.
Yeah.
I will say like, so these are the 23 numbers coming in, not last year of 24. But there was over $4 billion just in digital currency that was run through scam artists.
Wow.
Right. So knowing that because it's gained in popularity, it also gains in the opportunity that people want to jump on that bandwagon.
Opportunists.
They create their own digital currency, which is just basically digital fraud.
Yeah.
And so they're just taking money, and then they run because everybody has this kind of imaginary blockchain that they think they're invested in, but it's really not. So you do have to have a good backing, a good understand, and that's why the development of different funds that established stock brokers have now goes into building the support for digital currency. So now if you can go to some of the biggest names that everybody feels super confident in dealing with stocks because they have a good history with, then now they're just saying, all right, some of that speculation isn't as crazy anymore. And so we're going to now help support you get into it. So we were just talking a little bit off the air. We didn't set the marker, but thankfully with the advent of technology, then we know that we can go back. And this is why it's important to know kind of about how you invest and why you invest, because if the volatility of digital currency scares you, which it should, like that's a normal thing to have a fear like that. You want to know exactly kind of how much of your money you should be putting into that. So we look at percentages, not at dollar amounts, because that's not going to be the same dollar amount for everybody. So we look at digital currency high on the pyramid, which is our very speculative, like, I don't want to say crazy thought process, but basically I can put my money into something and if I lose it, it doesn't matter. So I like to kind of call that just for fun, my Vegas money. So that's money that I can throw away, have fun with, or leisure money. That's another thing too. Mm-hmm. But it is not money that I need to pay bills with. So if I have to pay my bills, my obligation is to pay my bills, not to take the money, put it somewhere, and then hope it makes more money to pay bills. I got to make sure I'm committed to the bills first, right?
Priorities.
Exactly. And that's what it comes down to. So we've talked about that financial pyramid, and at the very top is this kind of higher, just take a chance on things. But if all the other stuff on the bottom's taken care of, that doesn't matter as much. And you'd never put more than 5, maybe 10% of a financial focus in there, just simply because if you lose it, you're not gonna lose big. And so people will say, yeah, but if I can win big, good. You'll win big with just that part, and all the other part will be secured for you. So we've talked about this before, about the kind of buy and sell and then buy and hold. That if you buy and sell, there's going to be taxes on it. But if you buy and hold, you're in for a long ride.
Yeah.
That means no matter how much it goes up and down, you're committed to staying in there. So it just in the past hour, we talked about that if you were a Bitcoin person, and we're going to look at USD, not on the on the dinar side. It actually seems way cooler on the dollar side because it's just bigger numbers in there. So if you just times it by three on the dinar side, you're going to get pretty close. But any which way, we talked about this, that in the past hour from now, since we're at kind of the bottom of the hour, an hour ago, if you would have been on Bitcoin, then you would be down almost $200 right now. And that's just one of those Bitcoin. The thing is that the percentage is not really that much. And that's what you and I were talking about in the percent is it looks scary and it looks crazy because it's such a large amount for one Bitcoin. But if you break it down into the fact of you were talking fractions, more people can lose in a whole lot of other areas and a lot bigger money because they just have more in it.
Yeah. Would you suggest that kind of stuff to someone if they're just getting into like investing, that kind of stuff? Like if you were, say, in a hypothetical situation, right, you're taking care of someone's like financial side, that kind of stuff, would you suggest to them, you know, digital currencies, Bitcoin, that kind of stuff?
So what's unique about that is because you've talked about, you know, sitting down with the financial planner and everything like that. That's one of the things about a financial planner that you want to understand is kind of what their mentality is. Because if you want them to kind of think like you or have the same kind of risk tolerance as you, then you're basically giving them the opportunity to sign your name off and try to make money, right? And that's why when we look at that pyramid of kind of how your balanced portfolio is, you want to have certain things that are really that you can really trust. And then other things that as they get to be a little bit more like unknown that you just can't think. So I don't want to say the same as the roll of a dice, but, you know, something that is going to be the unknown is not nearly as known. And that's why they call it speculative. And that's the same thing with like options trading that you can do. It doesn't have the same kind of guarantee because if it did, everybody be doing it.
Definitely.
And so knowing that you're going to take more of a chance, what you just want to do is know when you're taking that chance. So you and I have talked about this before. In you were younger, you've got a lot of more recovery time. But if you were sitting with somebody who was like 60 or 70, they were retired or retiring somewhere in there, they don't have that same opportunity to take as big of a chance anymore. And so digital currency is kind of that balance that people have to come into of what time they're doing it in their life, how much risk can they actually take, and then what damage can be done if they kind of mess up on that.
Heard on more radios than any other appliance. AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
We are back with Mr. Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain, getting ready to talk more about these digital currencies. Now, we're just talking about kind of like digital currencies and stock and like the similarities, differences, that kind of thing. But one thing that stood out for me was what you said. It's kind of how the need of it, the necessity, supply and demand is how like digital currencies kind of work.
Yeah. But I mean, that's everything too, right? So it's the same thing with the stock in Amazon or whatever is cool at that stage. As soon as it doesn't want to show its value anymore and people can freak out about it, then they're just like, no, I don't want it. Not anymore. You can have it all. And then they get rid of it. And then a bunch of people, this goes into the kind of that GameStop AMC mentality that then people all gang up and they're like, we're going to make the kid in the corner cool.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that's when we talked about that FOMO thing. People want to start jumping in and they can literally push the price up.
Yeah.
And then you get into, and that again, that's history that we're talking about with something that we trust like stocks.
Yeah.
And so then we've had different scams that have been pulled off in at different times of how that has worked. And so you have a regulating board that has brought that up. So about, what are we at, 5 years ago almost now, that we had the stock market push really hard and we had some COVID stuff that came out and the stock market just started to tumble like crazy. And then it got locked down. And that is a regulating board that said, on the U.S. side anyway, we're going to close this because there's too much downward movement and we don't want an implosion, basically. That's part of what a lot of people don't see with cryptocurrency. They don't see that regulation. And that's what the positive has been for some guys, because they don't want the regulation. And so that has driven certain people. So there are people, like, there is a gentleman's name. His name is Michael Saylor, and he has got
Michael Saylor.
You can find him on YouTube videos and everything like that. But he owns what is now a very popular company, and they put a lot into Bitcoin, and they continue to do it. And his, you know, a lot of people know other popular companies and had never heard of MicroStrategies. And then he comes in and says, we're going to be 100%. We're all in. This is the wave of the future. And we're going to trust everything we can in there. So he started to build this up. And now that's what they're known for in that Bitcoin side of the world, is they've put a lot on that side. And the breakdown of kind of how he explains things, a lot of people kind of agree with, or they have an understanding easier that way. But what we kind of wanted to make sure of and be clear is that if and how you get involved, however that is, you want to understand the regulations and how they can affect you in your financial or your work life.
Mm-hmm.
For our guys, for people that have security clearance issues and things like that, or they need to have that for their job, they want to make sure that they're getting cryptocurrency from, you know, in a reputable area, and that some of that kind of, I guess, in a sense, like a dark web mentality of things, like, you have to stay away from that stuff, because once you declare that, and people, basically, when your boss says, hey, where are you getting your stuff from? It's got to be, you know, above board.
Yeah.
And it's the same way we get our paychecks. It's easy to understand. There's nothing. But once it starts getting into that gray area, and you've, you know, a bunch of, you know, our friends and coworkers, they have security officers in there, and they're there to protect them. And they're going to start to flag, because they're not sure what's going on with these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so you do have to be careful with that. It's one of the things that you can have fun, you can speculate, you can do all of that. And we've talked about where the priority needs to be. So don't want to use your bill paying money for that. Have all that set aside. But then even once you do, you want to make sure that who and however you're dealing with people, that it is legal. So that's one of the things that you have when you file taxes is, you know, have you purchased, sold cryptocurrency and all of that kind of stuff. It's like, it's a relatively new thing. But for us, the U.S. government anyway has a regulation on it that they treat it with what's called a capital gains tax. And so that capital gains tax means that if you have sold it, so if you and I made an agreement and you were like, dude, I'm totally in, and I sell it, we agree on the price, then I've got to pay that capital gains tax on it. So it's not just an easy transaction. I make the money and walk away. I make the money, walk away, and I give some to pay that tax off.
Yeah.
And so some of our guys, they travel, they get into different places, and they find out that wherever they're at, that digital currency is not regulated there. So then they start to invest money through whatever kind of account brokerage may be, and that's now on foreign soil in a different country. And so even for our friends that are from here, you know, as they have different opportunities and they look, whether you're in Germany, Japan, the United States, Middle East, wherever that may be, you have to understand the regulations of where you're at in participating in it. So yeah, it's kind of like, in a sense, it's like anything else. If you want to buy property, you know, in a place, you want to get all the details of it. And so you tell me, hey, man, I want to go buy a house in Germany. I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. What's the deal with that? And it's like, man, I've always loved it. And then you come in and you find out that, you know, to own that house, there's this amount of tax you're going to have to pay. And then you're going to have to make sure that you pay these kinds of property fees. And you're like, not just the price of the house. It's like, no, not just the price of the house, dude. And that's basically what you're going to do with digital currency.
Yeah.
Is you want to find all the hidden stuff and how that can affect you too. And that's what, you know, a big thing, at least for our friends that are on the active duty side, you definitely don't want to give up your career for something that is just for fun. So if you're just kind of playing that speculative game, putting your, you know, $5, $100 here and there, and then all of a sudden it's like your security flash on there and you're just going, yeah, so you can't work here anymore because you are totally in the middle with some shifty dude who's, you know, totally illegal, doing all kinds of, yeah, dark web stuff or whatever it's going to be. And now all of a sudden you got pulled into something that you could have totally avoided.
Listening to anything else is like kissing your sister. AFM The Eagle, serving America's best.
We are here with Mr. Patrick Underwood, just getting ready to, you know, close it out. Mm-hmm. Any last remarks you got for them?
Yeah, just the fact that if, as we talk about digital currency, first of all, you know, are you comfortable with the risk mm-hmm. that's in there? It's like anything else you're going to want to do. If you're more conservative, have a low risk tolerance, then it's probably not for you. Yeah. So it's not a bad thing. There's a lot of other places that you can put your money. We just want to make sure you're protected. Understand what the tax regulations or whatever the regulation authority is in that area, especially with it being back home. It is tax season, so that's going to be something a lot of people are going to be concerned with. And they never paid attention when they were buying, and now it's going to come to the forefront. So just be aware of that. Understand the security aspect of that, knowing, of course, that there is a lot of fraud in how things happen. So you just want to make sure you make wise choices with it. And we've talked about this a lot. Pretty much every show we try to end on that upside of, you know, no matter where the stress is, no matter, you know, how you can feel overwhelmed, if you've made bad decisions, like, don't freak out. There's people here to support you and things
definitely.
And just know that we've got resources, help you out with your mental health, financial health, physical, just all the different aspects that we've got. There's definitely things, not just at Fleet and Family, but with the whole team here that can support you.
Definitely. Yeah, no, things get overlooked quite a bit, especially when it comes to the mental health side of things. And I want to stress mental health because I feel like when your physical health isn't tip top or when you're just not feeling good about it, mental health's first to go. Financial health, mental health first to go. You know, it just, the mental health, I feel like, gets affected the most in those kind of situations. So definitely want to stress out that fact that, you know, there's people here that care. There's people here that want to help and give you more opportunities and that kind of stuff. And also, another thing I want to say about digital currency, yes, it is a, I mean, people do it, right? The people do it, make millions off of it. I'm not saying that will be you, but we're not saying for you to just go do it.
Definitely. Okay? They also lose billions off of it.
Exactly.
So we got to have a good, healthy balance of what people want to be involved in, just like anything else in life. You and I were just talking about ice cream.
Exactly.
I can shamefully admit you can be overloaded and make bad decisions with that. But we all get started somewhere, and we just want to make sure that as people are, that they have good information about the decisions that they're making.